Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, this is Nerd Nuptial episode 74. I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is the show where we take a look at nerd life through a married lens. That's right, we are married, we have a child, her name is Ripley, and we talk about all things nerd, all things geek on this show. And we have a plethora of things to talk about today.
Yeah.
A wide range. I mean,
it is.
Normally we have like a theme. Mm-hmm. That we talk about, or we're like, oh, we're going to review this, or we're going to talk about what it's like, what are some good nerd date movies, or, you know, something like that. But today, I feel like there's so much going on that we're just having a cavalcade of nerddom to talk about today. That's right. I used the word
cavalcade.
I don't even know if I used it correctly, but I used it, and I used it with confidence, and that's the best way.
All right. Well, we wanted to talk about a show that we hadn't given really a chance, and we just got into, and we just binge-watched this weekend, like, all of it.
I was trying to think about this. Was it just this weekend, or was it throughout the week?
No, it was, like, we started on Friday, and we were done, like, by Saturday night, I think. So.
And that's Master of None.
Yeah.
That's the Aziz Ansari show, and we know him from Parks and Recreation.
Yes, he plays, a stand-up, but
and,
yeah.
And his stand-up, mainly Parks and Recreation. Yeah. I mean, he played Tom Haverford,
mm-hmm.
Who is an individual who is kind of vapid.
Yeah, materialistic.
There you go. That's a better word. Materialistic, like very much a product of the generation. Like he's very much into social media, fancy clothes, fine dining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you guys have ever heard the phrase, treat yourself.
Yeah.
Like he's the one, he's half of the people who are involved with the treat yourself movement.
Right.
And it kind of like his stand-up is interesting. I'm not that big of a fan of his stand-up. It's a lot of shouting and can sometimes get a little rough. But there are some gems in there every now and again. But like we said, Parks and Recreation. So this show, for those of you who don't know what it is about Aziz. His name is Dev.
Mm-hmm.
The character's name is Dev. He's an Indian man who comes from Indian immigrants. And he was born and raised in New York. And it's basically just about his life in New York. It's very simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very straightforward. Like each episode is kind of like scenelets.
Yeah.
That's how I keep describing it.
Well, it's nice because, you know, like you could just watch like one episode and thoroughly enjoy that episode. And it's not like it takes a lot of time. Does that make sense? Like
yes.
So usually there's like a common story throughout the entire season, but you have like some gems in there that are about like certain issues as well.
With this show, it kind of goes against the streaming trend where if it's 10 episodes, then it's a 10-part movie.
Right, right.
Like Ozark that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
That was a 10-episode movie.
Right.
And this is a little bit different because it's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's rooted in comedy.
Right.
But it's more of like a dramedy. What I guess you could...
I
hate using that word, but...
No, it's right.
They're usually 30 minutes. You have a few exceptions where it's 36 minutes, or I think there's one episode that was like 57 minutes.
Yeah.
Which was a double episode, but it's very... They're very fun. They're very light most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah.
And it's like the overall trend, the overarching storyline is really just Dev's life,
mm-hmm.
where he's a commercial actor
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to get work, trying to find the girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just the same old, but every episode is just something random where it's like one episode is, oh, they want to get to know their parents, but like they want to know more about their parents' immigration story.
Right.
Like him and his buddy who has a Korean father.
Yeah.
And that's the story. There's no one's going to die.
Right.
You're like, the world's not going to end. No one was hit by a car. And there's very little conflict in it.
Yeah, I mean, in some of those standalone, I mean, usually the overarching episodes where it's talking about, like, usually his relationships, mm-hmm. those have conflicts. But yes. usually, like, the standalone episodes are more, like, just fun and, you know, usually deal with, like, social issues, but in, like, a lighthearted way.
Yes. I think the reason why I say, like, they don't have conflict is that usually with, I mean, the standard format for TV and movies and everything in theater and audio drama and whatever you're looking at is that there's a conflict. When you look at basic story structure, there is a problem that the character has to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the interesting, that's why you want to watch, is because you want to see a character overcome an obstacle. With this one, there isn't always an obstacle, but yet it's still entertaining.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that a lot. And we tried this when it first came out. And the opening scene is him with a girl and they're in mid-sexual situation and the condom breaks.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing you see. And we're like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we didn't give it a shot until now.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, well, maybe let's try to get past it. People talk about it and they like it and it wins a lot of Emmys. So it
gets a lot of awards.
Let's give it a shot. So we did. And I'm happy that we did because I enjoyed it.
Yeah. There's two seasons so far. And there's a lot of times when they just experiment. They try to do something different.
Yeah.
And I think all the episodes are written by Aziz Ansari and his writing partner, Alan Yang.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's his name, Alan Yang. And some episodes are directed by Aziz.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a very refreshing show.
Yeah.
There's a few times when some of the language, you're just like, oh, like that's what we're talking about?
Right, right.
Okay, and then you just kind of move past it. There's a few sexual situations. There's no outright nudity, but there's some sexual situation where you're just like, I don't need to see Aziz Ansari in this situation.
Right. Yeah, we're a little late to the party on that one, but...
We're very much late to the party.
Yeah, but... it was still enjoyable. So if you're looking for something to binge watch, why not try it?
Yes. I think that's the thing, is that like it's fun, it's light, it's usually only 30 minutes and there's only 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And so you can get through it very quickly. And I don't know when the third season is coming out, but you guys should definitely give it a shot.
Yeah.
Because we've been trying to find something new to watch because the baby goes to sleep at like 6:30 now instead of 7:30.
Yeah.
And so we actually have time to spend with each other and
that's
talk
true.
And watch things and do whatever else. And it's and so we're trying to think about what to move on to.
Yeah.
And
we'd love to hear some suggestions if you have any ideas.
Yes, please. If there was any streaming suggestions or anything current, we're trying to find something current, something
yeah.
that we haven't seen before. So like,
absolutely.
Like don't write us and say like, oh, Babylon 5 is pretty cool. Like, no, we're not looking for that. Like something on Netflix, something on Amazon Prime, or you know, even something on network TV if it's current. So what you can do is you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, send us an email from there, fill out the form. And also what you can do is you can check out all of our back episodes at thenerdparty.com, and you can check out all of our other shows at thenerdparty.com as well. We got Star Wars shows, Star Trek shows, Harry Potter shows, and everything else in between. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty and on Instagram as well. We're all over the place. You can find us
That's
on Twitter
right.
at joinnerdparty.
All over.
So please drop us a line. Give us some recommendations. I mean, especially if you've been a longtime listener, you know what we watch, what
say
we don't watch.
You feel like you know us, can give us a suggestion.
Something else that you can do is if you like the show is go to iTunes, give us a review. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show. You can give us any review you want. Any review that you think we're worthy of, but if you give us 5 stars, we will talk about you and mention you on the show.
Yeah.
So, one other thing that I kind of want to talk about, like shifting gears hard, is I want to talk a little bit about some nerd news, which we don't talk about too terribly much on this show.
No, not too much.
And it's about Wonder Woman, specifically James Cameron. Now, I'm sure this has been in the news for a while, so I'm sure if you're listening to this show, you've heard about this.
Yeah.
And you've read about it in the news. But let me read an article of what James Cameron, the man himself, the guy who directed Aliens, Titanic, Avatar, Terminator, Terminator 2, that guy. We all know who James Cameron is. He had a few choice words about Wonder Woman, and this is from the New York Times article. And this is him speaking. All of the self-congratulatory backpatting Hollywood's been doing over Wonder Woman has been so misguided. She's an objectified icon, and it's just male Hollywood doing the same old thing. And it was, you know, like, he went on, and I'm gonna paraphrase here, because after he said that, he went on to say, and that, you know, Gal Gadot is just a beauty icon. She's not really, you know, like, we're taking a step backwards because she's not just a badass, but she's beautiful. And he started talking about his own work, about Linda Hamilton in Terminator. She earned her badassery not just by being long-legged and beautiful. And Ellen Ripley is not a sexual icon and everything like that. But he had some choice words about Gal Gadot and everything about that. And so Patty Jenkins, the director of Wonder Woman, who I think is just such a class act, she had this in response, and I think it's absolutely perfect. James Cameron's inability to understand what Wonder Woman is or stands for to women all over the world is unsurprising, as, though he is a great filmmaker, he is not a woman. Strong women are great. His praise on my film Monster and our portrayal of a strong yet damaged woman was so appreciated. But if women have to always be hard, tough, and troubled to be strong, and we aren't free to be multidimensional or celebrate an icon of women everywhere because she is attractive and loving, then we haven't come very far, have we? I believe women can and should be everything, just like male lead characters should be. There is no right and wrong kind of powerful woman. And the massive female audience who made the film a hit it is can surely choose and judge their own icons of progress.
That's pretty classy.
How classy is that? Patty Jenkins, bravo.
Well, first of all, she like complimented him, but also like put him in his place, which is pretty cool. You, like, not everyone's able to do that. You know, I feel like a lot of people would just kind of lash out and be like, you're wrong. You know, look at all the success of Wonder Woman and what it means to women and young girls. But no, she was able to actually explain and articulate why Wonder Woman, and, you know, specifically Gal Gadot, is a powerful woman. And that just because you're, well, the thing I don't quite understand what James Cameron's saying is that he's basically saying that you almost have to be masculine in a way to be a powerful woman. Like, is that what he's trying to say? Like, you can't be pretty?
I don't think he's specifically saying you have to be masculine.
Okay.
Because I don't think the opposite of beauty is masculinity.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
I mean, I think I'm pretty and masculine. Both are not true.
No, I'm just saying, like, why can't you be pretty and be badass?
I think that's the thing. Yeah. That's the argument that Patty Jenkins is trying to make, is that you can be pretty and a badass. You don't have to be like Vasquez in Aliens, who's so machismo and just over the top masculine. But you can be.
Right.
You absolutely can be. Like, if you're a woman and you identify with Vasquez,
yeah,
and that type of woman, you can, that can be a badass, absolutely. And James, but basically where James Cameron went wrong, in my opinion, is he said, he's like, I did it right. He said, he's like, I'm James Cameron, and I did it right with Ellen Ripley, and I did it right with Linda Hamilton and everything like that. And
Ridley Scott took Ellen Ripley first.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I might be putting, I don't think he mentioned Ripley. Okay. He really only mentioned Linda Hamilton.
Okay, because so that was his franchise first. I understand.
So I might be putting words in his mouth.
Okay.
But, he said, he's like, that's how you do it. You know, like, I've been doing it since the 80s.
Okay.
And he's criticizing Patty Jenkins and WB and everything like that for doing that. And Patty Jenkins is saying, there's no wrong way to do it.
No.
Like, you can be whatever you want to be and be a badass and be a powerful icon. And I think Patty Jenkins is right.
Absolutely. And
now, some interesting things happen. Like, we talk about current events at the Nerd Party behind the scenes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a communication platform called Slack, and we all get to instant message each other. It's like our own private chat room. Sometimes it can get heated. Sometimes it can get a little, whoo, okay, guys, let's take a step back and everything like that. And I mean, we're all friends and it's all in good fun, but sometimes it can get heated. This is one of those times.
Really?
When I got kind of heated, because I'm not going to name names, because they all listen to the show. But one person was talking about how, well, we shouldn't dismiss what Cameron is trying to say. Because one guy was talking about, he wasn't trying to say that there's only one way to have a badass female. What he was trying to say is that there is a lot of backpatting going on in Hollywood because of Wonder Woman. And his criticism was, listen, this movie wasn't The Godfather. You know, this wasn't the best movie of all time. And I think because of the message, because of the female message, it's being overblown. It's being overinflated for what it is.
But we don't have a lot of that.
And his argument was, well, you should look at other areas outside of superheroes, like look at independent movies, and you'll see a whole lot of powerful female characters. And he's not wrong.
That's very true, yeah.
But this, like, what? And then another person came in and said, no, you need to look at all the women in your life and all the little girls in your life and see how it affected them, and you can see how powerful a movie this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with both to an extent, where just because it's powerful for women and little girls doesn't mean it's a great movie, and just because it did so well and it's so successful doesn't make it a good movie. I'm kind of butchering this. Where let me rephrase this. Wonder Woman was not a 5-star movie, in my opinion.
Okay.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
But there was a lot wrong with it.
Sure.
In my opinion. But what it did for the superhero franchises and women and female characters, I think, is unparalleled.
Well, yeah, because we don't have anything like that. And, right. You know, before, you know, you do mainly see women almost like just there to be sexualized, whereas this... I didn't feel that way when I was watching Wonder Woman. You know, it felt empowering instead of being like, oh, well, she's just an object.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like those comments by Cameron, like, you need to at least give it the, you know, credit that it's due. Like I said, like, I don't think it was the best thing in the whole world, but do I think that it hopefully will make strides for the future? Absolutely.
My sister, who is a big Wonder Woman fan,
mm-hmm. said she's been that for a long time.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's been a Wonder Woman fan since she was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And when Wonder Woman decided to do something, like she's like when they were in the No Man's Zone or
yeah, yeah, yeah.
like something like that, No Man's Land, and everybody was retreating, but the soldiers were on their own. She said, no, I'm like Chris Pine said, we can't do anything. And she's like, well, you might not be able to, but I can.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets up and the music hits and all the bullets are coming at her and she takes charge. It's a turning point in the movie.
Yeah.
My sister said that she was brought to tears during that moment. And it wasn't just because it was a great moment. It was because it was a great moment with Wonder Woman, with a female superhero-led film.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, it wasn't like a guy had to step in and like... do it,
mm-hmm.
or something like that, because that's usually the situation, is like, you know, you have these women who are able to prop up the male superhero to do what they need to do,
yeah.
whereas Wonder Woman is able to take care of it herself. But like, I mean, I don't want to discount the other, honestly, like Cameron's female protagonist, because those are also strong
yeah.
women, and like you said, like independent films, like, yeah, I'm sure, like, you know, even though they don't get as much credit because they're not mainstream, doesn't mean it's not being done. But how many people actually do watch those films?
This has way more visibility.
Yeah. And it's just, that's just the nature of what it is.
And that's the nature of franchise films. That's the nature mm-hmm. of superhero films. Everybody knows about them because of the marketing campaigns. And independent films are independent films for a reason.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I, you know, it's unfortunate, but I feel like until this point, a lot more probably funding went into... funding a, you know, a woman-led independent film versus, like, are they going to take a chance with that much money on a, you know, bigger franchise where mm-hmm. a woman is, like, you know, that much power? Yeah.
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 Yeah. And so I can see both sides from within the Nerd Party.
Yeah.
Where, yes, you know, like, the feminist message might have made us overlook how good Wonder Woman actually was, but at the same time, that message of female empowerment is important.
Oh, yeah.
And was stellar and, you know.
But I really don't think that James Cameron needed to make those comments.
See, that's the thing.
It seems like, a little petty.
Like, why would you open your mouth?
Yeah, and it seems like, is it just to put yourself up? Like, just to, like, make yourself feel better? Like, you're trying to take away her glory that she has in the moment. Like, there's no reason for that.
Yeah, I don't understand that, because...
like, you can't let them have that. Also, Gal Gadot is not just a pretty face. Like, she was actually in the army.
Yeah, she was
like,
in the
Israeli
army. Like,
she actually can kick ass, so...
yeah, she legit knows
yeah,
how to kick
like,
ass.
She's gorgeous, but she's not just, like, this waif of a girl. Like, yeah. She actually can, like... do damage.
Yeah, she can kill you five different ways without using her hands.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So basically, Cameron, you're a great filmmaker, but shut up when it comes to Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, I started thinking about, you know, like when the news came out, I just started thinking about, I was like, oh man, I can't wait till Wonder Woman 2.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, or I can't wait till Justice League until... so we can see Wonder Woman again, because they totally have shifted their marketing.
Oh yeah, she's much more focused now.
From like she did Batman so well. And his team to Wonder Woman takes charge.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm kind of, I have a little bit more faith in it, but not really. I don't know if it'll be good, but I doubt it will be good. But if I can get a little bit more Wonder Woman, that'll be good too.
I think that's the thing. It's That's kind of where I'm at too, where Justice League, I want it to be good. And
yeah, of course.
I'm going in expecting
it
to be entertained. I'm expecting to be entertained, but at the same time, it's kind of like how I am with Star Trek Into Darkness.
Okay.
It's not a good movie, but I like those characters.
So you're okay watching it.
So I'm okay watching it.
Like seeing those characters again.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so with Justice League, I love me some Batman,
mm-hmm.
and I love Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
and so there you go. I want to see them kick butt.
Okay.
And hopefully it'll be an entertaining movie along the way.
Yeah, I get it.
Because I can even go back and watch Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, even though Batman and Robin is a horrible movie, like, I can watch it because it's Batman.
Uh-huh.
And of course, that's also an ironic watch.
Yeah, that is an ironic watch.
I'll defend Batman Forever, though. I like that movie. Everybody else can shut up.
So didn't they get clearance for Wonder Woman 2?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
I'm sure after they did the first screening, they're like, okay, let's lock in Patty Jenkins as soon as we can.
Yeah.
And Patty Jenkins just signed on for Wonder Woman 2. And apparently she is going to make, they haven't disclosed what she's going to make, but apparently she will be the highest paid female director of all time.
Awesome.
I think that's how it's going to go.
Nice.
And good for her, because she earned it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But there's a lot coming out.
Yeah, for fall. We're looking forward to fall.
Yes, we're. Mm-hmm. We always look forward to fall because of the weather, the clothes, the scarves. but also for, I feel like good media comes out.
Yeah.
In the fall. And one thing is Stranger Things too.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. First of all, like, the fact that there's some Halloween in there that we can see from the trailer, we're super excited about that. I think we've even talked about that before.
Yeah, isn't it coming out on Halloween?
I don't know.
Something like
that.
Okay. I think it's around
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited about that, though. We're going to do a rewatch soon of the first season.
Yes, I've been itching to go back to Hawkins. Mm-hmm. And it's you don't want to do it too early. You want to do it as a lead up.
Absolutely.
Now, there's another thing coming out on Netflix in October.
Yeah.
Which is Mindhunter.
And that's David Fincher franchise.
Yes, it is. It is a David Fincher executive produce. I'm assuming he's going to be directing the first couple of episodes like he did with House of Cards.
Mm-hmm.
And you're listening to this on his birthday. If you're listening to this
it's
on the
birthday.
Day that it's released, it's his birthday.
We have a reminder in our phone.
We do. No joke. Longtime listeners will know this, that we legit celebrate his birthday. Reserve the judgment.
Yes, it's me an excuse to get cake, but
it really isn't. But we do. This will be our third year celebrating it.
Yes,
where we'll go and we'll get a little cake, a little like a little buttercream cake from the grocery store. And the first year we didn't have anything on it. The second year I actually had them. I was like, "Can you write down Happy Birthday, David Fincher?" And thankfully, the person behind the counter didn't know who David Fincher was, and she's like, "So you don't want just David on it? Like, you want his last name too?" I was like, "Yes."
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Like, yes, ma'am. I would like Happy Birthday David Fincher on there, please.
Yeah, so you're listening to it on his birthday. So wish him a happy birthday.
Yes. Celebrate accordingly. But yeah, Mindhunter, which is a show about kind of the FBI taking serial killers seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Where actually, I think in the trailer, they even talk about how the term serial killer is coined. Like,
yeah.
Like somebody says serial killer, they're like, what? They're like, yeah, it's a new phrase or something like that.
Yeah, it's more like about the study of their mind and about how do they think. And it kind of sounds like, you know, where that can lead either to solving crimes and also maybe to their own paranoia, possibly.
Yeah, it's like, you know, are serial killers made or are they born?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it nature versus nurture? Where does it come from? What is broken within a serial killer? Is it chemical? Learned? Is it learned behavior? And this is something that I think, even though this is something grotesque and gruesome and abhorrent, it is fascinating from a psychological perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people enjoy stuff like this. Is why you and I enjoy stuff like this.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why David Fincher is one of our favorite directors, because he's gone on record saying, I make my living off of perverts.
It's true.
And if you look at his filmography, yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
kind of do.
It's true.
Like an exception of Benjamin Button.
Yeah, you know? That's basically it. Yeah, but I'm excited about that one. I think that's going to be fascinating. So I have really high hopes for that one.
I do too.
Yeah.
I have a feeling obviously because of the subject matter, it's going to be messed up.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they don't push the limit too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know it's going to be rough because of what it is.
The content.
But I'm really hoping that they don't go, oh, because it's streaming, we can do whatever the hell we want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, I still want to sleep at night.
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also some movies coming out that we're excited about, too.
Yeah, we spoke a little bit about Justice League, but of course, I'm more optimistic than you are. But I think one movie that we are just absolutely gung-ho about is Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, yeah. We're so excited.
They keep releasing trailers for it, and they're really kind of just variations of the same trailer.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get too terribly much. But this is directed by Denis Villeneuve, and he's the guy who did Arrival, and he's going to be doing the Dune remake.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited about.
Super excited about.
Because he is he's such a visual director. And this got me thinking, Harrison Ford has become the master of the 30-year late sequel.
What, like Indiana Jones and Star Wars?
Yeah,
look
at Star Wars The Force Awakens,
yeah.
And Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. Those were all decades after.
That's true.
The last movie, and now Blade Runner 2049.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Like, are we going to wait another 30 years and then he's going to come out with Ender's Game when he's 100?
Oh, gosh. No, we don't need that. yeah, no, I'm excited about this cast because, I mean, you've got Robin Wright, Jared Leto, Harrison Ford and Ryan Gosling, like, I don't need much more than that.
I know, right? Like, you really, really don't. And it's just the music, the look, the feel. I mean, like, if you came to me and said, hey, do you want a Blade Runner sequel? I would have told you, no, leave it alone.
Yeah, that's true. I probably would have said that, too.
Like, there are some classics that you just need to leave alone. But, you know, thankfully, this movie looks so good that you're just like, bring it on.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know, though. Like, it's kind of like, where's the line? Like, what movies can you bring back and what other ones can you not? Like, what ones can you have a sequel to? Or, you know, where's that line? I don't know.
I don't know either because...
Because I would have said the same thing about Blade Runner. Like, don't touch it.
There are certain times when I feel like I can accept a reboot more than a crappy sequel. Like, I can take a crappy reboot or remake better than a crappy sequel.
Well, because... Really?
Okay, so here's the thing. If a reboot or a remake comes out and it sucks,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, at least we always have the original.
That's true.
But with a sequel, you're using the same people, you're using the same storyline, and it's a continuation of that story. So when you're watching the original,
that's true.
You think about where those characters are going.
That's true.
At least me, personally. Some people may be able, like...
I definitely felt that with The Force Awakens, like, when they didn't keep Leia and Han together.
That was upsetting.
That was really upsetting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh.
So when you go back, because we've gone back and watched the original trilogy since then, does that change? Like when you watch Return of the Jedi and they get together at the end and they're celebrating, you know, with the Ewoks, does it change anything?
I think a little bit, to be honest. Like I think it does bother me a little bit. It's almost like something that my mind tries to push away. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I keep being like, no. In my version, it doesn't happen that way.
Headcanon.
Yeah, I feel like we struggled to get them to that point so much. We wanted them to get to that point, and for later on to realize they didn't make it, it's like too tragic.
That bothers me, and it makes me wonder how long were they apart? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Me
like,
too.
Was it a decade? Was it a couple of years?
Right.
You know, I don't know. Like. In my head, I try to say like it's only been like a year or something. So they had 30 years together.
Right.
And it was great.
Right.
Until Kylo went crazy. that's my headcanon. But I get that. I get that completely because sometimes it can
mess it up a little bit.
It can alter your view. It can it can change your perspective on what you love. I mean, the special editions did that to me.
Mm.
The Star Wars special editions did that where they instead of just going in and revitalizing or recoloring or, you know, making sure that the sabers are all the same color. You know, that's fine if that's what you want to do. But like one of my favorite moment of the trilogy, of all three, is when Vader decides to save his son and kill the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You don't need any words.
And they ruined it with the special edition.
Right.
I mean, not only the special, I mean, because it was fine. Like, it survived three rounds of special editions. And then the Blu-rays came out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they decided to change it. And I can't watch it the same way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It has literally ruined that moment for me. Like, because we have the theatrical editions.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones we watch. Ruined.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're always thinking about what you had witnessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it bothers the hell out of me. And so I guess I'm kind of going back on what I said. Although that's a unique situation, though.
That is true.
Because that's
you're
not
messing
a sequel,
with the, you're
that's not a remake.
You're messing with what already existed.
Right.
Like the actual movie versus later on.
Like if somebody came and said like, hey, we're going to go and we're going to take Blade Runner and we're going to make a special edition. Well, even that, actually, no, that's not even a good example either, too, because there's been like five cuts of Blade Runner.
Yeah, there has. There's
so
a lot
never mind,
of cuts.
I can't even say that.
There's a lot of cuts.
So many unique situations, I guess. But no, I'm like Ryan Gosling, I think he looks so good walking slow. And
he does.
You need that to be a Blade Runner. I love that the name Blade Runner means nothing. Like somebody asked Ridley Scott, like, why is it called Blade Runner? It sounded cool.
Oh my god!
Like that's his reasoning. He's like, it just sounds cool. It means absolutely nothing. I'm like, bravo, bravo.
It works.
But like speaking of Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
You know that's coming
out. I'm excited
out
about that.
In winter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Star Wars.
December. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Disney now owns Christmas, basically.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see more Rey and actually see Luke.
I know, right?
Yeah. So I'm excited about that.
That's the thing. It's just like, Luke, give me some Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have me some Luke.
Yeah. I'm excited about that.
I don't even care what you do with him. Just.
Do you?
No, that's,
yes, that's
that
a lie.
That's a complete and utter lie. That's a complete and utter lie. But yeah, I'm trying to think what, like, those are the main things that I'm really kind of excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Is, I mean, like, Justice League is coming out, you know, episode 8. Jumanji isn't really something that I'm looking at movies that are coming out this fall. Like Thor Ragnarok, I'm pretty excited about. You couldn't care less.
I couldn't care less.
But yeah, I guess like now that we're in a post War of the Apes world, there's less that I'm excited about, but the ones that I'm excited about, I'm very excited about.
Okay.
You know, Blade Runner 2049, Star Wars, Mindhunter, and Stranger Things too. I think those, like, two TV things and two movies, those are the ones that I'm most excited about.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, we want to know what you guys are excited about.
Absolutely. What new things are coming out? Maybe things that we didn't even mention, or you're like, hey, you should think about watching this.
And we mainly talked about like franchise films.
That's true.
So, and sequels and everything like that. So like, I'm sure that there's some independent films or some lesser known films or non-sequels, non-reboots, mm-hmm. non-franchise films, non-superheroes wearing capes.
That's true.
That we, maybe we're, that is flying under the radar. So let us know about that. Tell us about that. You can go to thenerdparty.com/contact. Just like we said before, you can find us on Twitter at @joinnerdparty. You can find me personally on Twitter at @theinsanerobin. So thank you so much, guys, for listening. Please remember to subscribe, check out our other shows, and as always, go to thenerdparty.com for more.
I love you.
I know.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
I don't.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.